Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And it is the Feast of the Solemnity of Saints Peter and Paul, great feasting in the Church, great leaders for us to remind us of standing strong in difficult times, in which some times like this in which we're in right now. Hope you're having a great Monday. It is a beautiful Monday morning at summertime leading into the 4th of July weekend. Today also happens to be the final day of the Religious Freedom Week, and I really encourage you to go to the USCCB website, usccb.org, to see what they're doing. Today they're talking about a new effort that they're undertaking called Civilize It, Dignity Beyond the Debate, where they're encouraging us to engage in civil discourse and to lead the way as Christians. And they're talking about how, as a divided country, fights at the dinner table, political arguments, what does it mean to love our neighbors in the midst of such a climate? And so they have a summary, and they're really talking about having dialogue, and that's what we're not seeing right now anywhere. Nobody is talking to anybody. Everybody is either screaming, attacking, and I'm not just talking about what we're seeing in the streets. I'm talking about even trying to have a conversation with someone with whom we disagree. The conversation either doesn't take place at all, we just shut it down, or we have the cancel culture on a bigger level moving in and you know, attacking particular people who are out there in the public square. It's just not pretty. I mean, but just in general, you can't say anything to anybody without somebody getting, you know, offended. We can't even sit down and talk to one another. And I see that in my own family. And we all suffer from this, right? We all struggle with it because we live in such volatile times right now, and our sensitivities. And it was like this even before all of this happened with the horrific death of George Floyd and the ensuing problems after that. It's just not a pretty picture right now. But if we are truly to be Christians, we need to be a light. We need to be salt and light, as this effort from the bishop says. And, by the way, speaking of salt and light, after our interview with Lewis Brown, who has a great, great reflection on the rebirth of the civil rights movement in his article for the Witherspoon Institute, which we're going to be talking about right after the news, I encourage you to go to the Catholic News Agency website and take a look at the full statement. They caught most of it, and they put a link to it, of this young priest who went and stood in front of the statue of St. Louis and did try to engage in civil discussion, did his best, even though a lot of people weren't listening, but he tried. We're not responsible for the results. That's not up to us. God is the Savior. We're not the Savior. We witness. We speak the truth in love, as it says in, you know, 1 Peter 3:15, always be ready to give a defense of the hope that is within you, but to do it with gentleness and reverence. But then the rest is up to the Holy Spirit in that person. That's what Mother Teresa always says. God doesn't expect us to be successful, only faithful. We can't control the results. We are responsible as children of God by virtue of our baptism, as our Catholic faith teaches us, by making a difference and being willing to go out there and put the Word of God out there in the midst of whatever situation in which we find ourselves. And it's a pretty crazy situation out there right now, I know. So I just wanted to encourage you to go to the USCCB website to see the last day of the Religious Freedom, their theme for today, June 29th. And think about it in light of Saints Peter and Paul, how they often disagreed, but they still loved each other to work together enough to proclaim the gospel. So pretty powerful stuff that we're seeing right now, especially this week leading into the 4th of July weekend and holiday. Looking forward to chatting with our friend Lewis Brown. He's a dynamic speaker, and he's making a huge difference. He's the executive director of the Christ Medicus Foundation. That's a Catholic health care nonprofit dedicated to sharing the love of God in health care. He's also an attorney, formerly serving at the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and on Capitol Hill as a congressional staffer to a member of Congress. And again, wrote a terrific piece called The Rebirth of the Civil Rights Movement, which I posted on my Facebook page. And it was from the public discourse of the Witherspoon Institute, which is their blog, and they have a lot of great articles on there. So Lewis joins us, and then if we have time, I do want to play the almost 3-minute clip of that young priest and what he said about St. Louis and the St. Louis statue. That'll come up at 39 minutes past the hour, depending on how many questions we get for Lewis Brown. And also Gail Buckley will join us wrapping up, as we always do on a Monday, with our scripture verse of the week. Right now, it's already 4 minutes past the hour, and there's a lot of news to get through this morning, so let's do that today, June 29th, 2020. Thank you for tuning in to Catholic Connection, a co-production of the Ave Maria Radio Network and EWTN. Pope Francis saying in his Angelus address yesterday, no true love without the cross. Speaking from the window overlooking St. Peter's Square yesterday, the Holy Father reflecting on the day's gospel reading, in which our Lord tells the disciples, whoever does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. That's from the Gospel of Matthew 10, verse 28. The Pope went on to say this means following him along the path that he himself trod without looking for shortcuts. He said there's no true love without the cross, without a personal price to pay. Father Stephen Schumacher, as we just mentioned, a priest of the Archdiocese of St. Louis, was among the defenders of a prominent statue of the city's namesake as protesters called for its removal over the weekend.
St. Louis was a man who had authority thrust upon him. He didn't do anything to earn it. You're right. He didn't do anything to earn it. What did he do with that authority? Do you know what he did? Go down to the St. Louis Cathedral, and you'll see some of the history that St. Louis did. St. Louis was...
Eventually, we're taking that, too, though.
St. Louis was a man who willed to use his kingship to do good for his people.
Father Schumacher ordained back in 2019, so his priesthood is only about a year old, attempting to inform the folks there about the life of St. Louis, Catholics defending the statue at the protest, praying the rosary, and singing, and several police officers separated them from the protesters. One Catholic telling the local newspaper, the Post-Dispatch, St. Louis symbolizes deep faith and convictions. I stand for him, and I stand for those Catholic virtues and those Catholic values that I think are important, such as courage, faith, and love. But ultimately, I'm here, she said, for Christ the King. Meanwhile, in a letter dated June 23rd, the Bishop of Madison, Wisconsin, writing that if we allow the commemorative and visual history of our nation to be destroyed by random groups in the current moment of anger, how will we ever learn from that history? Does toppling and vandalizing a statue of George Washington because he owned slaves really serve our country and our collective memory? Meanwhile, police say a giant cross dedicated to Father Junipero Serra was vandalized in Southern California. The vandalism in Riverside happening Saturday night as activists continued to target monuments dedicated to the 17th century Spanish priest who founded California's chain of Catholic missions. Riverside police say the 35-foot tall cement and steel cross was defaced by graffiti. A Catholic teacher is expressing, meanwhile, his devotion to St. Serra. Theology teacher Christian Clifford expressing his feelings to the founder of the missions by completing a pilgrimage to all of those missions. Clifford telling the Catholic news agency it was an opportunity to walk in the shoes of the 18th century friars such as Serra. He called it a chance to grow in virtues relevant to his experience as a teacher. And the teacher nearly, walked 800 miles to visit each of the 21 missions. Vice President Mike Pence delivering a message of faith and freedom while speaking at the annual Celebrate Freedom Sunday at First Baptist Church in Dallas. Pence saying the foundation of America is freedom and the foundation of freedom is faith. Pence adding that from the day President Trump took office, he has protected the freedom of all Americans. Only the nations that have the Lord as their God are blessed. Pence encouraging Christians to hold on to their faith and pray for the nation during challenging times. The vice president was also interviewed over the weekend on CBS's Face the Nation, where he explained his concerns about Black Lives Matter and what he believes the group is refusing to acknowledge.
It's really a hard issue for me. And as a pro-life American, I also believe that all lives matters, born and unborn.
Pence saying the Black Lives Matter movement has leaders who are pursuing an extreme leftist political agenda.
What I see in the leaders of the Black Lives Matter movement is a political agenda of the radical left that would defund the police.
Again, the vice president interviewed on CBS's Face the Nation after his address at a Dallas Baptist church yesterday. Many American Christians are uncomfortable returning to in-person worship services due to the pandemic. American Enterprise Institute questioning over 3,500 Americans from late May to early this month. They were asked about their comfort level on returning to church. About 64% saying they were either somewhat uncomfortable or very uncomfortable returning to in-person church services. Mississippi is closer to removing the Confederate emblem from its state flag, the state Senate passing a measure to remove the symbol just hours after the state House did the same. The governor there has said he will sign the measure. A member of the Parliament of Victoria in Australia urging that there be an inquiry into the treatment of Cardinal George Pell by the state's police and judiciary months after Australia's High Court unanimously overturned his conviction for five alleged counts of sexual abuse. Bernie Finn, a member of the Victorian Legislative Council from the Liberal Party, saying, as Catholic News Agency explained, the integrity of the justice system is very much on trial. He said there are major questions that are desperately in need of answers. He said, I would like to see an inquiry that is at arm's length from Victoria Police, from the judiciary, and from the government. He asked that Jill Hennessy, the Attorney General of Victoria, launch an investigation into former Chief Commissioner of Victoria Police, Graham Ashton, as well as the Australian Broadcasting Corporation, to try and discover how we can avoid trial by media in the future. How did the Court of Appeals get it so very wrong? And how could an innocent man in this day and age in Victoria be jailed in the way that Cardinal Pell was? In Grand Rapids, Michigan, organizers are hopeful their unity event later today will help strengthen the relationship between the Western Cities Police Department, Western Michigan City's Police Department, and the community. Activist Elijah Libet says there's a lot of distrust between communities of color and the police right now.
You get one bad cop and he do something, you never once heard another cop get up and testify against him. Everybody is living by their own code simply because they don't trust each other.
Organizers stressing the event is not a protest, but a way to bridge the gap between the police and communities of color, and is set to be held at Calder Plaza in Grand Rapids this afternoon. Matt Madison tells us another major firm is pressing pause on advertising on Facebook and other social media platforms.
Starbucks says it's stopping ads on platforms because more needs to be done to create more inclusive online communities. The coffee chain's move comes after Coca-Cola, Pepsi, and other large corporations pulled their advertising from social media over hate speech on platforms. Though it's pausing ads on social media, Starbucks says it's not part of an official social media boycott movement.
The coronavirus continuing to surge in Florida with another 8,500 COVID-19 cases yesterday after a record nearly 9,600 on Saturday. The governor there, Ron DeSantis, saying younger people get more of the cases than spread them.
The number one vector that we've seen throughout this is the home, because those are the people that you're in close sustained contact with.
He says the state had to shut down bars to on-site drinking because noncompliance became so widespread. A former director of the CDC says the country is trying to catch up in the battle against the pandemic.
It's like being able to scramble the insides of an egg.
The virus has the upper hand. This virus is not going to go away on its own. We have to stop it, and only we can do that by working together.
On Fox News Sunday, Dr. Tom Frieden saying things will get worse for a few weeks because it'll take a while for physical distancing measures to show up in numbers. And finally, in our news segment at about 14 minutes past the hour on a Monday morning, June 29th, great little story. Two 11-year-old girls are now friends thanks to a message in a bottle. Sophia Wilson writing down her feelings about the pandemic while her family was stuck in Florida and then sent it out to sea. Put the message in a bottle and sent it out to sea. Sarah Walters found the bottle 2 weeks later while on a trip to the beach in North Carolina. Now, Walters reached out to Wilson, and they are talking to each other regularly, according to their parents, constantly, and their families are now arranging a time for them to meet in person. What a great little story. 877-573-7825. Hope you're having a blessed Monday morning. The Feasts of the Solemnity of St. Peter and Paul. Great feast day and beautiful readings today. We have beautiful readings every day. But in light of all the trouble in the world and all the challenges we face as believers, some great readings to take to heart. When we come back, we're going to be talking with Lewis Brown about the rebirth of the civil rights movement. That actually is the title of a beautiful article he wrote for the blog of the Witherspoon Institute. I posted it on my Facebook page, got a great response. We'll talk with him up next. Stay tuned. Hey, it's Teresa Tomeo. Did you know that if it wasn't for your generous donations to Ave Maria Radio, that Catholic Connection would not be available? That's right. This program would not be available for WDEO and WMAX But also, Catholic Connection would not be available for the more than nearly 400 Catholic radio stations around the country. So you can see how your partnership is a huge gift, not only to those of us here in Michigan, but to millions of Catholic families around the nation and the world. All the funding for the production and initial distribution of this program and all the other wonderful shows from Ave Maria Radio comes from you. But the only place we can fundraise, the only place we can talk to our listeners about our partnership is on Ave Maria Radio stations, WDEO and WMAX. So thank you for your support of Ave Maria and click that donate button or go to the app.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling. 35 years of experience, pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plans, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right. Well, my wife used Seton, some of our children. And I will tell you this. Two of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT, 27% higher on English and reading. It is a rigorous program. At least now, 1.3 million students are homeschooled. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to SetonHome.org. SetonHome.org.
Joined this morning by Lewis Brown. He's the executive director of the Christ Medicus Foundation, a Catholic healthcare nonprofit dedicated to sharing the love of God in healthcare. He's also an attorney, formerly serving at the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services on Capitol Hill, as well as a congressional aide. And he's done such great work, congressional staffer to a member of Congress, and continues to do great work to help us understand who we are, made in the image and likeness of God, and how we express ourselves in the public square. And that's why I love the article that he did for Public Discourse, which is a journal of the Witherspoon Institute. And the piece is on my Facebook page, and we have a link to it, and then Andrew will also put a link to it on our archives today. Lewis, good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you, too.
All right, so you really start out by just putting in, I think, that first, the lead story, as we say. You certainly didn't bury the lead, as we say in the news business, but you said, in the wake of the murder of George Floyd, righteous anger moved many Americans to engage in necessary and appropriate peaceful protests for justice and criminal justice reform. These protests were co-opted, however, and we have seen rioting, looting, and civil unrest. Factions in our culture are attempting to hijack the civil rights movement to advance social chaos and to advance a culture of death. That just summarizes, I think, what a lot of us are feeling and seeing right now. But how do we, do you think, Lewis, help people understand what's really going on versus what these rioters and looters are claiming they're representing and fighting for?
Right. Thanks, Teresa. I think we have to do three things. We always have to, as Christians, we have to pray. And sometimes we pray as we act. We can do both at the same time. But we have to listen to the Holy Spirit, and we have to put on the mind of Christ, because a lot of voices out there aren't speaking truth, or they're confused themselves. So I think we have to pray. I think the second thing we have to do is to we have to love, particularly by seeking to meet the needs of our brothers and sisters in the Lord, in our workplaces, in our own communities, particularly who are African American, particularly who are concerned about racism and police misconduct, and that aren't just feeling it now, but have felt it for a long time, and that's something, a deep wound ignited within them, I think, or was re-engaged when this all happened. Third, we have to speak truth. We have to call things for what they are, and we have to reject evil, and we have to do good. And particularly in this situation, we have to reclaim the civil rights movement for what it has always been, which is a movement based on faith in God, Judeo-Christian principles, and a belief in the equal human dignity of every single person, no matter where they come from, no matter what they look like. It has, within that, there is zero place for criminal acts. There's zero place for the culture of death. There's zero place for retribution and for revenge, which is some of what you're seeing in different parts of the country in response to the death of Mr. Floyd. So what I'm calling for in this article is a new birth of civil rights. When I went to the Lincoln Memorial, I run a lot. I live in Washington, D.C., and I run on the mall a fair amount. And a couple, maybe a week or so, some days before this all happened, I looked again at some of the addresses that are on the walls of the Lincoln Memorial. And, of course, one of Lincoln's most famous speeches was talking about the new birth of freedom, right? The first birth of freedom being the founding. We had an initial birth of civil rights with the abolitionist movement, but then also with the civil rights movement. And we need to have that birth again. We need to reclaim the civil rights movement for what it truly is, which is a movement based on love for God and love for neighbor, and seek to do that work again while we call out and we reject the destruction, the sin, the violence, the hatred for others that will only lead to death and will only cause there to be more victims like Mr. Floyd in the future.
We're talking with Lewis Brown from Christ Medicus about his very powerful piece that he did for Public Discourse, which is the blog or the journal of the Witherspoon Institute. You can find it at thepublicdiscourse.com. Lewis, great points. I mean, praying and loving, so true. But how does that translate? For example, you and I were talking about the clip of that courageous young priest just ordained last year in St. Louis who went in front of the statue of St. Louis and tried to explain to the people there who St. Louis was, what he did, and then toward the end of it, you can hear him saying, well, you know, why don't you go down to the cathedral and learn more, and someone in the background says, yeah, we're going to take that too. So how do you promote peace to people who aren't even willing to listen and are talking about more violence in the midst of when you're trying to talk about peace?
Right. I think, yeah, no, that's a good question. So I can't stress this enough, and in my discernment, we as Christians, and particularly those of us who are Catholic, we have to engage this. And we first have to, like, what the social and civil unrest that's going on in the United States, we have to engage it. And I think the first way that we engage this is by having conversations, and particularly at the church level, I think having forums right now at your parish,
right,
with other Christian denominations, having forums to have an open discussion so that people can be heard. It's absolutely the time for that. So times for interfaith forums, church forums, community gatherings to talk about race and racism and healing. Also opportunities to have prayer meetings, opportunities to have prayer rallies. Those things are vital. They can be done in every city in the country. And because there's a... It's important not to disregard the need. There's a deep need that African Americans and other communities of color have right now. If you look at, by way of example, there's horrible recording of language of police officers in Wilmington, North Carolina, that draws out some of the greatest fears that African Americans have with police brutality. So this thing is an issue, and it's a real issue, and so we have to seek to heal the wound, meet the need through prayer, through discussions at the local level. At the same time, I think we as Catholics need to pray and fast regularly around what's going on in the country right now, because there's certain forces, spiritual forces. This is a spiritual battle, ultimately, that we can't stop on our own. I also think that we have a right to... So the vandalism that's occurring, even some churches have been vandalized, not everywhere, but definitely different parts of the country, the taking down of statues. Those things are criminal activities. They have no place. And I do think that there is a place for us within reason to peacefully protect Catholic churches and protect Catholic heritage in the United States of America in a peaceful, nonviolent, loving, prayerful way. There's a place for that.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's part of our heritage. That's part of our heritage as Americans. And that's not a white issue. It's not a black issue. You know, there are more, I saw an article where there's more African Americans that are Roman Catholic than there are African Methodist Episcopal in the United States. So this isn't a race issue, but this is an issue of religious freedom. And so that's the issue. Like, I can't stand the Confederacy for obvious reasons. You know, I'm part of the African American diaspora that was enslaved in the United States. I hate mm-hmm. the Confederacy with all my heart and soul. But when we start illegally tearing down structures, committing criminal acts, I've said for years, this ends up at the churches. This
yeah.
ends up as an attack on faith, because there's a desire to get rid of all bounds, to get rid of anything that would inhibit me from having a license to do whatever I want to do. And that's why...
Lewis, hold on. We're going to come right back. We're going up against a break. More with Lewis Brown when we come back. Stay tuned. Having an important conversation with our friend Lewis Brown, a terrific article he did. I really hope you read it. He makes so many points, which is why we have him on this morning. A New Birth for American Civil Rights. Lewis, we were chatting during the break about some of the statues that these groups are going after, in particular Black Lives Matter, now going after the statue. Statue that in particular, and you said that you were with Monsignor Pope and you were saying a rosary, and Monsignor Pope stopped there and explained it to you and to your group that was praying. But this statue is actually paid for by freed slaves. So how can they say they're standing up for those who are persecuted and the very important issue of racism and what we're still facing in this country, the ugly things that we have to address? And why would you go after a statue like this?
Sure, yeah. It's a statue in Lincoln Park in Washington, D.C., and the first, I believe, amongst the first money collected for the statue was money given by an African American freed slave that wanted to contribute. I believe it was about $5, which was a fair amount, you know, in the latter half of the 18th century. And so I always say this, Teresa. There are certain things that, you know, the Justice Taney statue that used to be in Annapolis. He wrote the majority opinion in the Dred Scott decision. I hated that statute, and I was glad to see it go. But when it was taken away through an appropriate process, there's a process for erecting or taking down statues in the United States. There's no place for the lawlessness, the senselessness behind it, and there's no rhyme or reason. They took down the San Junipero statue, in two different locations. One went through a process, a legal process. Another one was vandalism. There's no place for that. One of the points that I've been making is that George Floyd, God rest his soul, he died because of a breakdown in the rule of law
mm-hmm.
when that officer
mm-hmm.
murdered him. We don't prevent more police brutality and more police misconduct by doubling down on breaking down the rule of law. It's the rule of law properly applied that protects all of our civil rights, that protects all of our human freedoms, particularly in communities of color that are more susceptible to often in certain situations in certain parts of the United States to lawlessness. And so we don't respond to our understandable, justifiable anger about a breakdown of the rule of law with more breaking of the rule of law. We need rule of law, which protects our human dignity, protects our freedom, protects our civil rights.
Yeah, and I think it was a great suggestion to have these discussions. You know, we talk about in the church, and you know it so well, about subsidiarity, and all politics are, you know, are local. And so you start locally in your parishes and discuss these things that aren't easy to talk about, but we need to be discussing them because we're not doing, this is what's so frustrating to me, and you and I have talked about this privately, we're not doing George Floyd, his family, others who are victims of racism and police brutality. What good are we doing? I think he's been lost in all of this. His death and the cause of his family and the concerns of the black police officer who was killed during one of the riots in Atlanta, and the who was it the sergeant who was standing there in St. Paul, Minneapolis, guarding a friend's store, another African-American man. Do we even remember him? That's all been lost.
Sure. Yeah, right. And I think that's important. I think that African-American folks and really the entire country, you know, we've gone through a trauma. COVID is serious, right? And it has particularly, it's impacted everybody. It's had a really tough effect on certain black communities, certain parts of the United States. So that's occurred, right? And there's health disparities there that need to be addressed. So it's part of our Christ Medicus Foundation's mission in healthcare to ensure that everyone has access to healthcare, that everyone has the health and wellness that they need, that we're sharing stewardship of our health consistent with the love of God and what God wants for people. So that's important. And people are experiencing pain in the healthcare spectrum already, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
This comes along, it makes it even worse. And so African Americans are feeling pain. But if you look at the words of Mr. Floyd, Mr. Floyd's brother, excuse me, when he testified at Congress, very beautiful. He's talking about healing. He's talking about unity. That's what we need. One of the things I mentioned, Teresa, in the article is the Truth and Reconciliation Commission that started when apartheid ended in the mid-90s, 1994. Apartheid ended. Nelson Mandela was elected president. Instead of seeking retribution or revenge, Mandela led the country in the path of healing. It was not perfect, but through the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, the country went through a process of healing and forgiveness, and really probably on some level deliverance, where people came together in an open forum and expressed their grievances, talked about the crimes, the brutality they experienced, the victims spoke truth. In certain cases, perpetrators confessed what they did, mm-hmm. and healing was allowed to continue. The country was able to heal. The wounds were able to be healed to an extent. I don't think it was perfect. But that process of true healing, very similar to what you see for those of you that have done Unbound and understanding the power of healing, the power of forgiveness, that process never happened in the United States. We passed laws, legal behavior changed, but hearts didn't change the way that they needed to. Radically better than we were 50, 60 years ago, or even 20, 25 years ago. But we're not where we need to be, and we need a process of healing across the country. We need, so that those deep wounds can be healed. And then that starts with, again, respecting and loving the human dignity, both in culture and in faith and in law and in fact around the country, every spectrum of the country. And that's what we need right now.
And I also think some are taking advantage of that pain and that frustration that certainly is justified and exists and that we need to address. But what's happening, and maybe if you could stay with us for another break, I want to address another point that you make, is that the people who are going to suffer the most from this agenda that these anarchists and these looters and these people who are, tearing down buildings and really breaking the law, they are going to hurt even more the same community that they claim that they support. And I wanted to, just as we close this segment, and stay with us, we'll be back for more. Unfortunately, forces within our culture, you say, are attempting to co-opt the civil rights movement by destroying its foundation in natural law and replacing that foundation with the bankrupt culture of death. These forces, hijacking the civil rights movement, seek to replace the movement's foundational belief in the God-given human dignity of every person with a pro-abortion, anti-family, and anti-faith agenda. A misguided agenda would only further decimate the black community as well as the entire country. If all black lives matter, you say, which they intrinsically do, then over 15 million black unborn babies aborted since Roe v. Wade must also matter. If we truly believe that all black lives matter, those who seek racial equality should be focused on empowering communities of color and not on promoting abortion rights, gender ideology, and the destruction of the black family. And those who are behind all of this destruction and violence out there, that's who they are. And you and I were talking about during the last break about Gloria Steinem praising this move, what she called a movement, and saying that so many radical feminists were behind it. We'll talk more about that and wrap up our discussion with Lewis Brown. If you'd like to join in, 877-573-7825. Do yourself a favor and read this article and pass it on, written by our friend Lewis Brown, A New Birth for American Civil Rights. Posted June 24th, Public Discourse, which is a journal of the Witherspoon Institute. Wrapping up with Lewis Brown when we come back on Monday. As we wrap up Religious Freedom Week, which is today, USCCB has some really neat stuff and very helpful guidelines on their website at usccb.org. And moving into the 4th of July weekend, a lot of discussions being held, and that's what we need to do. We need to discuss. We need to talk with one another. That's why we have Lewis Brown on us, with us this morning, because of his great article where he's encouraging just that, involvement and prayer and discussion, especially at the parish level. And he's written a terrific piece for the Public Discourse, which is of the Witherspoon Institute, A New Birth for American Civil Rights. I want to get back to the portion of your article, Lewis, that I read regarding abortion. This is what a lot of people aren't seeing. And you mention this misguided agenda would only further decimate the black community as well as the entire country. If all black lives matter, which they intrinsically do, then the over 15 million black unborn babies aborted since Roe v. Wade must also matter. If we truly believe that all black lives matter, those who seek racial equality should be focused on empowering communities of color and not on promoting abortion rights, gender ideology, and the destruction of the black family. But that message, with the exception of articles like yours, unfortunately, it's not getting to the people who need to hear this.
Right. Now, it's vital that it does. We have to remember who we are as a country. We have to remember who we are as Americans. We have to remember who we are as Christians. And it has been faith in God, faith in Jesus Christ, that led to a massive movement of Christians calling for the end of slavery. It was a faith in God, a mass movement of blacks and whites coming together that ended Jim Crow segregation and that ended, that really ended the legalization of, a bit of a caste system in the South and discrimination in the North. And that's what this movement is founded on, faith in God and faith in the dignity of every human person. As Catholics, we know that human dignity has to be respected, has to be protected from conception to natural death. We need a rebirth of civil rights. The civil rights movement in the United States, Teresa, is based on the principle of human dignity of every person, the right of religious freedom, the right of conscience in particular, that our conscience does not allow us to shrink in the face of evil, that we must act, and that right to life. And so that's the civil rights movement. Those that seek to deviate from that, those that seek to hide back, those that seek to howl it out from within, those people must be stopped. It must be that ideology must be rejected. It's not who we are as Americans. It's only going to lead to a path of destruction. It's only going to continue to decimate black communities the way that it has the last 40 and 50 years of whether it's the contraception, whether it's abortion, the breakdown of families. I can't tell you how often, Teresa, I've had a lot of conversations and some friendships over the years with African-American men who are homeless in Washington, D.C., in Detroit. They all didn't know their father every single time. And so the idea that Mr. Floyd's death has anything to do with the agenda to break the family, to increase abortion, it's just wrong. It's just wrong. This is a movement that's based on faith in God and the belief in love for neighbor and the need to advance this beautiful agenda of love, of mercy, and to respect the civil rights of every person in every corner of American society, from healthcare, education, from commerce to the criminal justice system. That's the way that we went all together as Americans. That's how we really fully fulfill the promise of what the United States is, and it's the only way that we can do it. Love is the most powerful force in the world. We have to get back to that, but it has to be love based in truth. And we have to remember who we are as Americans.
Well, we don't know who we are. We don't know who we are as human beings. That's because we don't know Christ. And once we know him, we know who we are, made in his image and likeness. And that's where it all has to start. I think it's so important, though, for people to understand who's behind these movements that have hijacked the real issues that we need to discuss. And we were talking again during the break about Gloria Steinem recently praising some of the founders of the foundresses of Black Lives Matter and thinking this is a great thing. And what are they for? As you mentioned, they're for abortion and breakdown of the family and gender ideology. And yet when you ask, if you see any of the interviews, a few reporters, and they're not even in what we would call the mainstream media, but these internet journalists, those who have the guts to ask the real questions. I saw one interview a couple of weeks ago of a young man who went into Seattle when they still had their Occupy Zone, which quickly imploded, as we know now. And he asked one of the leaders, okay, well, you know, after he talked to her about, you know, how can you tear down these buildings? This is good. Anyway, he asked her a few questions about that, which wasn't asked also. But then he said, okay, well, at the end of the day, what is your new system of government? What is your world going to look like? She had no answer. She gave him some, you know, very convoluted statement like, well, we have to let the minds of brilliant minds figure that one out. So it's like, well, if you're so determined to do this, you should have a plan, you would think, about what you want your world to look like when all this is said and done.
Right, yeah, there's no rhyme or reason. I mean, if you talk to the overwhelming majority, I believe, of African-Americans, which is a diverse group in this country, and even within that those communities, they want a rule of law that respect the dignity and the rights of every single person, particularly of African Americans. That's what they want. They don't want a breakdown in the system. They don't want to get rid of the police that work every day to protect and maintain our freedoms and to keep the peace. They don't want that. They want to know that they can drive down the street, that they can go to the gas station at night, that they can run around town in the morning freely and peacefully, and that their children have a shot in the United States of America. That's what they want. They want to know that the rule of law will be maintained and that the civil rights and the human dignities will be protected by law enforcement. That's what they want. That's the answer. That's the answer in the criminal justice system. That's the answer in the healthcare system. That's the answer across the board. We as African Americans, and we as all of us as Americans, and particularly as Catholics, we don't want destruction. We don't want chaos. We don't want a breakdown of the rule of law. And so we don't solve what happened to Mr. Floyd, a breakdown in the rule of law, by doubling down and advancing further breakdowns of the rule of law. We restore the rule of law. We reclaim the civil rights movement in the United States. And that's the way forward.
Are you optimistic as we wrap up, Lewis, and thanks for staying with us for a third segment because I really wanted to dive deeply into some of the great points, that many of the great points you brought on in your piece, but are we any closer, do you think, in doing what you so rightfully call for, which is what we all need to do? First we pray, then we love, and we sit down and we have real discussions with people as the bishops are calling for in their new platform on civility. Do you see that happening in the near future? My concern as a media person, and I was chatting with you about this, is that all this, you know, the hype and all of this stuff that the media love to promote, they love to cause division because, I mean, they have their own political agendas, but also for ratings' sake to get people all scared. Then they drop it and they move on to something else, and there's no real discussion, and that drives me absolutely nuts. What do you think? And how do we not pay attention to that and make sure that we're doing what we need to do?
Right. I think that we have to put on the mind of Christ, right, in all things. And I have hope if Catholics will wake up. A phenomenal speech at the New Evangelization, the John Paul II New Evangelization Dinner, I believe it was last year, that Robbie George gave. He said the era of comfortable Catholicism is over. And that's correct. If Catholics will wake up and say, A, there was a failure of love in Minnesota, there's been a failure of love in different parts of the United States when it comes to race and equality, and Catholics will wake up and try to meet those needs to the degree that they can in their communities, in our communities, while also standing up for our religious freedom, we have an opportunity. If we say, well, someone else will do this, I'll just wait for someone else to do it. I'm afraid of my reputation. I can't get involved. I can't risk. It will be too late. I really believe we're at the key inflection point at any time in this country, more than any time in this country in the last 150 years. There's certain people that want a different country. They want a different constitution. We have to meet the needs of African Americans and other folks that are disenfranchised, that are hurting. We have to do that, but we also have to stand up and protect our religious freedom. And we do that by expanding our hearts, by engaging on this issue, meeting the needs and solidarity with our African American brothers and sisters, but also reclaiming what the United States has always been, which is a country based on human dignity, a country based on the right of religious freedom, a country based on the right to life. And so we have to speak, we have to pray, we have to act, and every person listening to this needs to be saying, what is the Holy Spirit calling me to do?
Calling me to do, what am I going to do? Absolutely.
What are you going to do?
Amen.
And so we're doing this at the Christ Atticus Foundation. I call you all to join us. We need a movement. We need a new birth of civil rights in this country based on love, based on freedom, based on the belief in the will of God for every person. That's what we need, and we need everybody.
Amen. Lewis, well said. Thanks so much for your words today and also your great article, A New Birth for American Civil Rights. Lewis Brown from Christ Medicus, and we'll wrap up with a beautiful verse from our friend Gail Buckley, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. Keep your eyes on Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. We'll be right back. Thanks to those sustaining members, brand new members, and of course to those who've recently renewed your membership. Patricia from Ypsilanti, Janet from Westfield, Indiana, Jacqueline from Midland, Michigan, Carolyn from Lake Charles, Louisiana, and William and Pam from Canton. You too can renew that membership, become a sustaining member, or make a one-time gift by going to AveMariaRadio.net or clicking that donate button on the Ave Maria Radio app.
So glad you came.
My peace I give to you, said Christ, as we read in the Gospel of John. Peace be with you, the priest says during Mass. We also offer each other peace as we shake hands prior to communion. And you know the old saying, when you have nothing nice to say, don't say anything at all. Well, how about wishing that person peace? You don't even have to say it out loud. Recite it as a quiet prayer in your heart. I truly believe that if each of us had peace within our hearts, there would be no hatred in the world. So what is it? What is peace? We pray for it from God. He graces us with it. With peace we have no worry. With peace our hearts will not be troubled and we will not live in fear. With peace the planet could be set free from the shackles of evil. With peace we enter a place filled with love. And that is the message we communicate. So may the peace always be with you. This has been a Christ Center communication message. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo, the communication evangelist.
Jesus Christ never preached the gospel without demonstrating it. The world is hungry for an encounter with God, and Jesus has chosen you to be His instrument. The Encounter School of Ministry is a 2-year school located in Brighton, Michigan that teaches, equips, activates, and deploys disciples to demonstrate the supernatural power and love of the gospel in their spheres of influence. If you are serious about growing in your ability to make Jesus known to the world around you, please visit us at encounter.school. That's encounter.school.
Welcome back, Catholic Connection, on a Monday morning, June 29th. It's about 52 minutes past the hour. Unfortunately, we're having phone issues this morning and can't reach Gail Buckley. We'll make sure she joins us next week. Normally, she joins us every Monday with a scripture verse of the week. And again, I just wanted to remind you, if you wanted to take a look at the terrific piece that Lewis Brown did regarding a new civil rights movement, to take a look at my Facebook page at Mrs. Teresa Tomeo, Facebook at Mrs. Teresa Tomeo, to check it out and share it, because it's really well done and it brings up so many important points. And we need to talk. We need to sit down and be able to talk. And that's why I really appreciated what the bishops had to say about civility as they were wrapping up the USCCB's Freedom Week, Religious Freedom Week, which you can find at usccb.org. And I thought it was very Well, providential, another God wink in terms of the whole idea for wrapping up today. Religious Freedom Week, they have a new effort that they're doing called Civilize It, encouraging civil discussion, which is so lacking, as Lewis just pointed out earlier. So they're calling us to do three things every single day, as they do for every Religious Freedom Week. And by the way, this is just on the homepage of the usccb.org. The first is to pray. And number one, pray that God would give us the grace to remember the dignity, as Lewis said, of all, and invite others to do the same. Reflect. As Catholics, our strong tradition of social teaching compels us to be actively engaged in the building up of our communities. In other words, this is not just for those who are ordained religious, such as bishops, priests, and deacons, or religious sisters, or those who are the head of the local, RCIA movement in the church, or, you know, the catechetical teaching that you're doing if you're a catechist. It's not just up to those people who have maybe official titles and roles, whether they're volunteer or whether they're ordained. Each one of us has to be responsible in building up the community, starting with our own domestic church. So the bishops go on to say, in terms of our reflecting, it is achieved by being involved in the political process. And yet today, as Lewis just got done saying, many people shy away from such involvement because our national and local conversations are filled with vitriol and harsh language. That's very true. Often directed at people themselves. And you heard what happened to that young priest. He held his own. He was very polite. He was very loving. But many people, as he was speaking, were saying, oh, we're going to tear down the cathedral next. We're going to take that next. But he kept talking and got his statement out there. When personal attacks, the bishops say, replace honest debate, no one wins. And that's what's happening right now, as Lewis said. Nobody's winning in this. This kind of attack, no matter the reason, only serves to divide our communities. What is needed is good, honest, civil dialogue. This means we must treat everyone as worthy of being at the table, worthy of our respect, and worthy of being heard. In short, it means treating everyone as our neighbor. And then the last is act. And if you're interested in learning more about the civil dialogue or about how your community can engage in civil dialogue, they're encouraging you to go to the website civilizeit.org for more information. So as they wrap up Religious Freedom Week this June 29th, pray, reflect, act. Be willing to speak out, but do so, as St. Peter always says in 1 Peter 3:15, always be ready to give a defense for the hope that is within you, but to do it with gentleness and reverence. Thanks for joining us on this, the Solemnity of Saints Peter and Saint Paul. May we learn from both of them. They were very different, but they didn't stop from speaking the truth in love. Coming up tomorrow, we'll be talking about so many more things to discuss. I lost track of where we're going to go tomorrow, but it'll be interesting, no doubt. We're always responding to what's going on in the world and the Catholic perspective on it. We'll see you then. Ciao.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruczek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.